الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، درسنا اليوم هو في الدرس الثالث. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى: أركان الإيمان. الدرس الثالث أركان الإيمان، وهي أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله وباليوم الآخر، وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى. بعد أن مر معنا ما يتعلق بالشهادتين من مباحث، ذكر رحمه الله ما يتعلق بأركان الإيمان، وهذا من أهم ما ينبغي أن يتعلمه المسلم. وقد جاء في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة، وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمر عن أبيه عمر رضي الله عنهم، أن جبريل عليه الصلاة والسلام أتى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسأله أسئلة يعلم الناس دينهم، ومن ذلك أن سأله عن الإيمان، فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله وباليوم الآخر، وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره، يعني من الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذه الأركان هي التي لا يتم الإيمان إلا بها، والركن في اصطلاح أهل العلم ما لا يتم الشيء إلا به، وهو من ماهية الشيء، يعني جزء من أجزاء الشيء. مثل أركان البيت الأربعة، لا يتم البيت إلا بها، وهو جزء مهم لا يتم البيت إلا به أو بها. وهكذا كذلك أركان الصلاة، وهنا كذلك أركان الإيمان. والإيمان تعريفه عند أهل السنة والجماعة وبما دلت عليه أدلة الكتاب والسنة، وهو المعنى الصحيح الذي في دين الإسلام، أنه قول باللسان واعتقاد بالجنان وعمل بالجوارح والأركان، يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية فهو قول باللسان يقوله المسلم، وللإيمان أقوال كثيرة، وهو كذلك اعتقاد بالجنان أي في القلب، وعمل بالجوارح والأركان يعني أعمال هي من الإيمان، أعمال صالحة، وكلها من الإيمان كالصلاة والصيام وغيرها من الواجبات والطاعات، تزيد هذه بالطاعة وتنقص بالمعصية، وهو شعب كثيرة كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث أبي هريرة في الصحيحين: الإيمان بضع وستون شعبة، أعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. فهو شعب كثيرة، وبه نعرف أن خصال الإيمان كثيرة، كلما استوفاها المؤمن كمل إيمانه، وكلما نقصت نقص إيمانه. ولهذا الإيمان أركان لا يتم إلا بها. أول هذه الأركان الإيمان بالله سبحانه وتعالى. لا يسمى المؤمن مؤمنا حتى يؤمن بالله عز وجل. والإيمان بالله يتضمن الإيمان بأربعة مسائل أو مباحث. أولها الإيمان بوجوده جل وعلا، أنه سبحانه وتعالى رب خالق مدبر رازق موجود، وهو الإله الحق الذي يستحق العبادة ولا يعبد غيره. وقد دلت أدلة العقل والفطرة والحس والشرع على وجوده سبحانه وتعالى. فأما أدلة الفطرة، ما فطر الله عز وجل الناس عليه، فإنه ما من مخلوق إلا وفطر على الإيمان بخالقه وموجده، فتجد في قلبه توجها إلى ربه سبحانه وتعالى. ولكن هذه الفطرة قد تتغير، وإلا لو ترك ابن آدم على فطرته لتوجه إلى خالقه كما توجهت سائر المخلوقات إلى خالقها، كما قال الله عز وجل: فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. وفي الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: كل مولود يولد على الفطرة، كل مولود يولد على الفطرة، فأبواه يهودانه أو يمجس أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه. ومعنى أن الناس يتغيرون إما بإهمال آبائهم لهم، أو بتغييرهم بدينهم الباطل. وجاء في صحيح مسلم في حديث عياض ابن حمار المجاشعي رضي الله عنه عن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث طويل قال فيه أن الله عز وجل قال: وإني خلقت عبادي حنفاء. إني خلقت عبادي حنفاء كلهم، وأنهم أتتهم الشياطين فاجتالتهم عن دينهم، يعني أزالتهم وصرفتهم عن الفطرة. الأصل أن العباد خلقوا حنفاء أي موحدين، فالأصل أن الإنسان مفطور على معرفة خالقه وموجده. وهكذا دليل العقل، فإن العقل الصحيح إذا تأمل في هذا الكون العجيب وما فيه من مخلوقات عجيبة متنوعة في غاية الجمال والإتقان على كثرتها وتنوع أصنافها، فهي في غاية الجمال والإتقان. وليس هذا فحسب، بل تتعجب كيف هي على هذا الإتقان والجمال، ثم لا يشبه بعضها بعضا. لو نظرت في بني آدم، كم في الدنيا من بني آدم خلقهم الله عز وجل في أحسن تقويم، ومع ذلك لا تكاد تجد أحدا يطابق وصفه الآخر. إن دل ذلك على شيء، دل على أن خالقها عظيم، غاية في العظم. فإن الإنسان على ما أعطاه الله عز وجل من عقل وقوة لا يستطيع أن يوجد ذرة فما دونها، أي من العدم. فكيف بهذا الكون الواسع العظيم، سماء عظيمة بنجومها وشموسها وأبراجها، وأرض واسعة بعظيم ما فيها من مخلوقات عجيبة. هذا كله يوجب لكل عاقل منصف أن يؤمن بخالق عظيم موجد لها، وهو الله سبحانه وتعالى، كما قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم في حق هذا المعنى العظيم: أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون؟ والجواب بلا شك أن الإنسان يعترف أنه لم يخلق من غير شيء، يعني من عدم، ويعترف أنه لم يخلق نفسه كذلك، فلم يبقى إلا الثالث، وهو أن الله جل وعلا العظيم سبحانه وتعالى هو الخالق لهذا الإنسان ولهذا الكون العظيم. فكل ما في الكون مفتقر إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهذا شيء يسير من دليل العقل إذا كان منصفا سليما، الذي به يثبت وجود ربه سبحانه وتعالى. وهكذا دليل الحس، فإن الحس هو ما نسمعه ونشاهده من آثار وجود الرب جل وعلا، فأرسل الله عز وجل رسلا متتابعين تواتر خبرهم في الخلق، وصار علمهم وخبرهم من الأخبار والعلوم الضرورية. وما أيد به عليهم الصلاة والسلام من المعجزات والآيات التي شاهدها أمم من الناس وتواتر نقلها وثبت خبرها ثبوتا ضروريا، هو دليل من أدلة الحس الكثيرة التي تدل على صدق وجود الخالق سبحانه وتعالى. فنحن نقبل ونصدق بما هو أقل من مثل هذه الأخبار في إثبات محسوسات، فمثلا يثبت الإنسان حضارات ماضية وسابقة لم يرها ولم كذلك يسمعها ولم يمسها بيده، ومع ذلك يثبتها. لأن نقلا متواترا يثبت وجودها، وآثار من آثارها باقي حسا يصحح حقيقتها، فكيف لا نقبل ما هو أعظم منه مما بقي من أخبار وآثار الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام؟ فكم من نبي خلف خلفه آثارا حسية هي أقوى من آثار تلك الحضارات التي لو أنكرها منكر لعد مكابرا. فما جاء عن الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام وهم كثرة متتابعة وما بقي من آثارهم كلها دلائل حس تدل على صدق وجود الرب جل وعلا. وهكذا من دلائل الحس إجابة دعاء الداعين، فإنها دلائل حس تثبت وجود الرب سبحانه وتعالى. فما من مؤمن من مسلم أو يهودي أو نصراني بل حتى مشرك لكنه يؤمن بالله عز وجل إلا وقد وجد من دليل الحس من إجابة دعاء ربه جل وعلا له ما لا يستطيع أن يجحده، أنه دليل على وجوده جل وعلا. وقد قال الله عز وجل عن المشركين: فإذا ركبوا في الفلك دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين فلما نجاهم إلى البر إذا هم مشركون. وأما دلالة الشرع على وجود الله عز وجل فكثيرة، وأما دلالة الشرع على وجود الله عز وجل فكثيرة من الكتب التي أنزلها سبحانه وتعالى، وأعظمها القرآن العظيم، والرسل الذين أرسلهم عليهم الصلاة والسلام، وآخرهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. فما في هذه الكتب وما جاء به الرسل كلها أدلة شرعية تناقلها أمم يستحيل تواطؤهم على الكذب، تناقلتها أمم يستحيل تواطؤهم على الكذب وهم لا يحصون كثرة. فهذا دليل آخر محقق يثبت بمثله بل بأقل منه بكثير إثبات موجود، فكيف بالله عز وجل العظيم الذي تضافرت في إثبات وجوده الأدلة؟ وهذا قليل من كثير، ولعلي بسطت قليلا في هذه النقطة، وذلك لأهميتها والانتشار الجاحدين المكابرين لهذه الحقيقة في أوساط المجتمعات. وساعد على ذلك جهل الكثير من الناس مع ركونهم للشهوات التي وجدوا أن أقرب طريق يصلون إليها دون لوم ولا تعيير هو جحود وجود الرب سبحانه وتعالى. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية. نعم، والآن يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة حفظه الله.
الشيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر حفظه الله تعالى started this lesson saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. As for what follows, our lesson today inshallah ta'ala is going to be about the third lesson of the book of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, the important lessons for the entire community. So Sheikh Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala said in his book Arkanul Iman, the pillars of al-Iman, of faith. The arkan of Iman are that you believe in Allah, in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, and in the last day, and that you believe in the Qadr. The Qadr, which shall be explained, we can translate it in general meaning as being the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you believe in Al-Qadr, the good of it and the bad of it, that all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh Abdullah hafidhahullah ta'ala commented saying that now the author, after mentioning the issues that are linked to the two shahadatain, yani the two shahada, the shahadatain, yani shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, he went on to the pillars of Iman, because this is from the most important things that a Muslim needs to know and learn. Because as was reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abu Hurairah, And in Sahih Muslim also, it was reported from Abdullah ibn Umar, from his father Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask him about the religion of Islam in order to teach the people. So he asked him about Iman, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by saying, is that you believe in Allah and his books and his angels and his messengers and in the last day, and that you believe in Al-Qadr, the good of it and the bad of it. So these are the arkan of Iman. What's the meaning of Rukn in Arabic? In English we say pillar, but basically a Rukn, like Shaykh Abdullah explained, is the corner of the building. Like for example, when you have a rectangular house, the corner where the two walls meet, this is a Rukn. And you see that this is one of the most solid parts of the house, because this is one of the main parts of the structure which is sustaining the house. So in the Sharia of Islam, the Rukn is something by which the thing you're talking about, yani it's necessary that the Rukn is there to complete this this thing that you're talking about. For example, here the Rukn of Iman, we have to have the Rukn as to have Iman. And the Rukn is a part of the very thing, unlike the condition, for example. Now, so we see that everything which is mentioned here, the Arkan, they are the pillars of faith. Yani faith is not there except with those Arkan, and at the same time those Arkan, they are from faith, they are not something outside of faith. Then the ta'rif, the definition of al-Iman, the definition that the ulama of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah have given, and what is understood from the text from the Quran and the Sunnah, and the authentic meaning of al-Iman, is speech and belief. Yani speech meaning with your tongue, qawlun bil lisan, yani word on your tongue, this is from an iman. I'tiqadu bil janan is to have a belief in your heart. And amal bil jawarih wal arkan is the fact that you act upon this belief by your limbs and your body. And yazidu bil ta'a, it increases with obedience to Allah, yani wa yanqusu bil ma'siyah, and it decreases with disobedience to Allah. So we see here that the righteous deeds, they enter into al-Iman. I said that yani amal bil jawarih wal arkan, action or deeds with the limbs and the body. So the righteous deeds, they're from Iman. Like for example, salah and fasting and hajj and so on and so forth, the acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're from faith, al-Iman. And then Iman increases with ta'ah, with obedience to Allah. And Iman has many branches, as was reported in the authentic hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu bid'un wa sittuna shu'bah. Iman is 60 branches and more. The highest of it is to say La ilaha illallah. And the lowest of it is that you remove harm from the path, from the way. And Al-Haya, shyness, is from al-Iman. So the first rukn of Iman, as the author mentioned, is that you believe in Allah, al-Imanu billah. And Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala explained that this matter of believing in Allah has four main issues that we are going to talk about. And the first issue is the fact that Allah is there, that Allah exists, and that Allah is our Lord, our Creator, the one who's handling the affair of this universe, providing for us, and He is there, He exists, and none has the right to be worshipped except for Him. And this is what the clear proofs of sound mind and reasoning have indicated, and also the fitrah, the human nature which has not been perverted, the fitrah. And then al-his also, al-his is يعني the physical proofs or the physical matters have also proved the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also the sharia. All of this has indicated the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala started talking about the proofs of the fitrah, the proofs of the sound human nature which has not been perverted. Because verily, Allah has created people in a way that and has created the whole creation in a way that they believe in their Lord and they direct towards Him. But this fitrah might be changed with time. But if the human being was to be left upon his fitrah and not perverted because of his surrounding, then he would believe in Allah and he would direct himself to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is like Allah said in the Quran, the fitrah of Allah, the one that He created the people upon and has given them as a fitrah. There is no way to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'ani that this is the way that Allah does the human beings. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as we were supporting the authentic hadith, every newborn is born upon al-fitrah. And then his parents change him into Jew or into Christian or into Majus, into fire worshipper. Meaning that the environment and the parents and the family, they affect this original fitrah because of their own misguidance that they are upon, and they affect their very children because of their own misguidance. And Shaykh Abdullah mentioned another hadith, which is a very long hadith, in which is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for verily I have created ibadi, my worshippers, and my slaves, hunafa, ya'ni as people of tawheed, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, all of them. Then the shayateen came to them and they have taken them away from this, meaning from this fitrah that Allah has created them upon, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Then as far as the proofs of al-aql, sound mind and sound reasoning is concerned, then verily we say that the sound aql, the sound mind, understands the existence of Allah. Because if you meditate upon this great creation that you are living in, if you look at this amazing planet that you are living upon, and you look at those many amazing creatures that are around you, that are all of different types, and they are at the same time extremely beautiful and also perfect in the way they were created, although they are very numerous and extremely different in types, you see that they are at the in the most perfect of state, and created in the most perfect way according to what is appropriate for them. And even if you meditate about this, you will be amazed at this perfection. If you look at the reality of this creation which is around you, you see that all of it is different and at the same time perfect, and none resembles the other one. Like for example, Bani Adam, the human beings. We see that the human beings are unbelievably numerous. It's impossible to count the human beings that existed in this dunya. And you see that you will not find two human beings which are exactly the same. You will not find two people whose characteristics are exactly the same. They are all different and they are all created differently, and at the same time they are at high state of perfection. Then also look at this great creation that you're living in. Look at the greatness of the planet and the greatness of the sky. Before that, Shaykh Abdullah mentions it, also the human being, Sheikh Abdullah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being a sound mind that he should use to think about what has been mentioned. Because he will find out that he is that he will never be able to create anything from nothing. He will not be able to create a piece of dust out of nothing. So how can he believe that this great universe that he is living in just came about like that without anything, without anybody creating it and anybody shaping it, and without any intelligence being behind this? Look at the greatness of the sky. How many satellites are in the universe? Suns and stars and constellations, all of them show that they are in a system which is the fruit of intelligence and wisdom. And also the planet Earth that you're living upon, it is great and appropriate to those who are living on it. So all of this forces whoever is honest and not biased to admit that all of this necessarily has a creator. And this creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah says in the Quran, Allah is putting forward the question to the people as to show them this reality when He says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. But have they been created from nothing, or are they themselves the creators? So the answer of this is that without any doubt, the human being has not been created without anybody creating him. And also he has not created his own self. So we only have one possibility left over, is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being. And in the same way, we understand that Allah has created this great universe that we are living in, and this shows us that we are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdullah is saying this is some things that we have mentioned concerning this, but there is much more to mention. But inshallah ta'ala, this is enough concerning our lesson here. But there are much more proofs from the aql which indicate this meaning. Then Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala went over to al-his. Al-his meaning the tangible things and the physical things in our lives. And so what is meant here is what you have heard and seen from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Lord, in your daily life. For verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all sent messengers into this dunya, which are something physical and visible, which leaves traces throughout history. And those messengers, you see that their reports have reached what we call in Arabic tawatur, meaning that it's not just a particular type of people who talk about this, no. Rather, the reports and the information concerning those messengers, they spread out through many communities. And this show that those messengers really existed up until this came from what we call in Arabic al-ulum al-daruriyya. This is something, the fact that Allah sent messengers and that messengers were on this planet, this is something that everybody knows, because everybody heard from this, and this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is the miracles that those prophets and messengers were helped with, as to show their honesty or their truthfulness, that they are, as a matter of fact, messengers from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of those miracles and traces, entire communities through the history of mankind have witnessed them. And the reports concerning those miracles, they have been reported and spread throughout human history. And this is a proof of truthfulness of this. Because if you meditate about some things that we believe, especially as a Western culture, we believe in things from the past, which we have, as a matter of fact, much less proof concerning it. For example, we believe in communities that lived before our modern age, and we believe in yani places they were living in, and types of organizations they had, and so on and so forth, and yani community structures and all of this. But the reality is that we have not heard them, we have not seen them, and we have not felt them. But the only proof that we have are the informations that were handed over from generation to generation concerning those communities and the few leftovers we have from their traces. So none of us would deny anything like that. So how is it, if you look at the reports and the informations that were passed on through the communities concerning the prophets, you see that those informations are spread much more than the other informations, and they reach a much higher degree of authenticity if you analyze them by which way they were they were carried on, and so on and so forth. So all of this shows you that the prophets are a reality that is known through the history of mankind. Then how many prophets have left behind them physical traces that are traceable up until our days today? So Sheikh Abdullah says, if anybody was to deny the communities that lived before us, as mentioned before, then he would be considered as somebody who is pride and somebody who's not upon who is not straight in his way of looking at things, and so on and so forth. So how is it concerning what has been mentioned about the prophets? Because verily, the information concerning the prophets have been reported consecutively, because the prophets, Allah sent prophets in chains to the human throughout human history. And all of this are physical, tangible proofs that indicate the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the universe. Then the next proof is that Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala mentioned, is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the people. Because verily, every believer, every Muslim, but also most of the kuffar, whether they be from the Yahud, from the Christians, or even from the mushrikeen, from amongst those mushrikeen who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them have experienced in their life the fact that Allah answered their call. And this is something that no one can deny. Because he has experienced it in his own life. And this is like Allah says in the Quran, and when they get on the ship and they start crossing the sea with it, and danger comes to them, then they start calling upon Allah, making the deen sincerely and purely for him. And then whenever he saves them and brings them back to the shore, then they start ascribing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making shirk. Then from the proofs of the Sharia, then they are numerous. They are first of all the books that Allah sent down, then the prophets, and the last of those prophets is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For verily, the books that Allah sent down, they are all proofs of his existence, explaining his existence, and it is impossible to imagine that those books are a lie. Because if you see the spreading of those books that Allah sent down for mankind throughout the history of human being, you realize that it is impossible that the communities would have gathered upon a lie which would be that big. Yani, you have those books spreading between people who are completely different, living in completely different places, you understand it would be impossible that they would have made it up all together in a way which is not contradicting, and so on and so forth. So all of this is from the proofs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Abdullah says that he has mentioned this topic, giving some details, because today we see that in the community many wrong ideas have spread because of some people who are too arrogant to admit the existence of their Lord. And so they deny this reality with very strange arguments. And unfortunately, because many of the people are extremely ignorant in the community, they just believe what those people tell them without thinking about it and looking deeply into it. So this is why you see those arrogant people, they can just pull up and deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their Lord, who created them. And nobody really counters what they're saying, because people are too ignorant to understand what we are talking about in reality. Naam Shaykhana.
Wa min al-iman billah al-iman bi rububiyyatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala bi'annahu jalla wa ala ar-rabb al-khaliq al-mudabbir ar-raziq al-malik jalla wa ala la rabb ghayrahu ولا خالق سواه ولا مدبر ولا مالك إلا هو سبحانه وتعالى كما قال الله عز وجل ذلكم الله ربكم له الملك والذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير وكما قال الله عز وجل يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم فالذي خلق الأولين والآخرين هو الله جل وعلا فإذا لا يستحق العبادة إلا هو سبحانه وتعالى والإيمان بربوبيته سبحانه هو أن نفرده جل وعلا في أفعاله فنثبتها له وحده وننفيها عمن سواه ومن الإيمان بالله الإيمان بألوهيته جل وعلا ومن الإيمان بالله الإيمان بألوهيته سبحانه وتعالى بأنه جل وعلا هو الإله الحق وحده لا شريك له والإله أي المعبود حبا وتعظيما وخضوعا وذلا كما قال الله عز وجل وإلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم وما بعث الله عز وجل من رسول إلا قال اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت والإيمان بألوهيته هو إفراده سبحانه وتعالى بأفعال خلقه بأن نفرده جل وعلا بأفعالنا القولية والفعلية والقلبية الظاهرة والباطنة وهي عبادة الله عز وجل التي هي كمال الخضوع والذل مع المحبة والتعظيم فكما أننا لا نصلي إلا لله فكذلك لا ندعو إلا الله ولا نخاف إلا من الله ولا نرجو إلا الله ولا نذبح إلا لله ولا ننذر إلا لله، وهكذا قل في سائر العبادات تصرف لله عز وجل وحده. ومن الإيمان بالله الإيمان بأسمائه وصفاته، بأن نفرده سبحانه وتعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا. فنثبتها له جل وعلا خالصة كاملة لا يشاركه معه فيها شيء من مخلوقاته، كما قال الله عز وجل ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. نثبتها إثبات وجود من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل، ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل. نثبتها إثبات وجود من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل، ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل. ومعنى أن نثبتها إثبات وجود أي نثبتها على ما يليق بالله جل وعلا، لا نتعرض لها بتحريف ولا تعطيل، كما لا نتعرض لها بتكييف أي ذكر كيفية معينة ولا تمثيل، لأن هذا مما ليس بمقدورنا، فهو من الغيب الذي لا نعلمه، ومما لا يجوز لنا لأننا أمرنا بالتسليم للشرع وعدم الاعتراض له. فالقاعدة أن نثبت لله ما أثبت لنفسه وأثبته له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من اسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العليا من غير تحريف ولا تعطيل، ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل. والقاعدة في ذلك الآية الجامعة ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. وبهذا نكون قد انتهينا من مباحث الإيمان بالله عز وجل. وللإيمان بالله عز وجل ثمرات عظيمة، من أهم هذه الثمرات، وهي ثمرات كثيرة، من أهمها اعتماد العبد على خالقه وتعلقه به، وخضوعه وذله، وبهذا تكمل عبوديته لربه سبحانه وتعالى. ومن ثمراتها تحقق كمال محبة العبد لربه، بمعرفته سبحانه وتعالى بربوبيته وألوهيته وأسمائه وصفاته. ومن ذلك قيام العبد بالعبودية على الوجه الذي يحبه ربه جل وعلا له، فإن ذلك بحسب كمال إيمانه بربه وخالقه سبحانه وتعالى. فيمتثل ما أمر ويجتنب ما نهى عنه وزجر سبحانه وتعالى. هذا خلاصة ما يذكر في هذا المبحث، وبه نكتفي، والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. ويترجم الآن أخونا أبو حذيفة.
Then Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala went on saying that from al-Iman billah, the belief in Allah is to believe in His rububiyyah, His Lordship. And this is the fact that you believe that He is a Rabb, like we say in English, the Lord. Obviously the meaning in Arabic is wider than this, but yani, this is how it translated. That you believe that Allah is the Rabb, the Khaliq, the Creator, the Raziq, the Provider, the Malik, the owner of all this creation, and that there is nobody who has these characteristics except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah says in the Quran, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. This is Allah, your Lord. To Him belongs the mulk. يعني He is the owner of He is the owner, the king, the owner. And the ones that you call upon besides Him, they do not own qitmir. Is a part of a very fine membrane type skin, which is on the date stone. So look here, Allah says He is the one who's owning everything, and He said the one that you are calling upon, لا يملكون من قتمير. يعني they do not even own this fine membrane that you get when you scratch on top of the date stone. And Allah says also in the Quran, explaining this meaning, يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم. O people, worship your Lord, the one who created you and the ones before you, the one who has given you the earth as a resting place, and has made and has built the sky above you, and has sent down from the sky rain, by which He has brought about fruits for you. So do not ascribe any partners with Allah, wa antum ta'lamun, while you are knowing all of this. So all of this means that al-iman bi rububiyyatillah, the belief in the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the fact that we single out Allah with His own deeds, like we said, lordship, creation, providing, owning, handling the matter of this creation, giving life, giving death. All of these are from the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we single Allah out with those actions, meaning that we believe that none has those characteristics and those actions except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Then the next point of al-iman billah is the iman in al-uluhiyya, the al-uluhiyya, yani I don't know if you translate as godship in English, but al-muhim is the fact that Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Allah deserves to be worshipped because of His greatness, like we have mentioned before in the matters of rububiyyah, like creation, providing, owning, and so on and so forth. So we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone because of His greatness, and out of love for Him creating us and providing for us and bestowing upon us His bounties and so on and so forth. And we mention Him khudu'an, yani we worship Him khudu'an, meaning out of humility and also fear from Him. And this is the meaning that Allah mentioned in many places of the Quran, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. And your God, your ilah, يعني your worshipped one, is one. None has the right to be worshipped except for Him, الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah also said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And verily, we have sent in every community a messenger that you should worship Allah and turn away from at-taghut. We can translate as a summary the false deities, everything which is worshipped except for Allah, yani besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with all of this, we understand that the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fact that we single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our own actions, with our words, with our speech, and also with our actions, whether they be apparent or hidden, meaning that we perform our actions of worship out of humility for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and out of love for Him, and out of ta'zeem for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, as we do not pray to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also we do not call upon other than Him, and we do not make a sacrifice for other than Him. And like that, for all the different types of worship, we make them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, for the reason that we have mentioned. Then the next matter linked to the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-iman bi-asma'ihi wa sifatihi, the fact that you believe in the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His characteristics, His sifat, meaning that you single Allah out with His own names and with His characteristics. Because verily, the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has any share in that, and nobody resembles Him in that, or plays any sort of role in that from His creation. Like Allah says in the Quran, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, there is nothing like Him, and He is السَّمِيعُ, the one who is all hearing, البصير, the one who is all seeing. So we affirm the reality of these names and attributes that Allah has mentioned in the Quran without making tahrif. Tahrif meaning that you are changing the meaning, or making ta'til meaning that you are negating the meaning, or making takif meaning that you are describing the meaning, you know, that for example the hand of Allah is so and so, and that the mercy of Allah is so and so, yani by bringing up your own ideas in that. And also without making tamthil, meaning by comparing the names and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His creation, and so on and so forth. So, as said, we affirm the reality of those characteristics and names that Allah has mentioned in a way that befits the glory and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not oppose them with tahrif, meaning with changing the meaning, or ta'til, negating the meaning, or takif, describing it, or tamthil, comparing it. Because this is something which we are unable to do, because this is from the knowledge of the unseen that we have no means to reach. So the obligation for us is to abide by what the Sharia has brought to us. And so we are commanded to believe in what Allah has ordered us to believe in, and to stop there. So we believe in everything that Allah has described His own self with, and whatever the Prophet ﷺ has described his Lord with, and we do not make any of those four things, meaning changing the meaning, or negating the meaning, or describing, saying it so and so and so and so, or comparing it to anything. And the basic principle to understand all of this is the ayah that Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala mentioned, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, there is nothing like Him, and He is As-Sami', the All-Hearing, Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. So, this is what Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala mentioned concerning the belief in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then he mentioned as a conclusion that the belief in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has many virtues and fruits, and from those fruits is the fact that the slave, the worshipper, if his iman in Allah is complete, you will see that he has real trust and confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He relies upon his Lord and Creator, and his heart is attached to his Lord, and he becomes humble towards his Lord, and in that way his worship completes, and he reaches perfection in his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also from the virtues of this is the fact that the slave will reach having love for his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, because through knowing his Lord and through acting upon what he knew and living this in his daily life and believing in his names and attributes, through all of this he will get to love his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will manage to establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways. Because verily, the love that the slave has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in accordance to his knowledge that he has concerning his laws. So, it gives him understanding and it makes him want to obey his Lord by doing what he has ordered to do and by keeping away from what he has prohibited from doing. So Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala says that this is a summary and the most important things that we had to mention concerning these issues, and we stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan ikhwa. Nasta'idhinukum. فيكم بارك الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.